Welcome to the June issue of the AES Journal podcast. I'm Kyle P. Snyder. This month, we published 7 research papers on topics ranging from loudspeaker cabinet diffraction through perceptual quality models to forensic audio. This is a significant journal issue for John Behrens and his colleagues, who have worked on the new POLQA model for speech quality measurement. They published 2 papers this month, one on the temporal alignment of impaired and reference signals, and the other on the perceptual model employed in the new system. In the first, they explain how a new algorithm allows advanced temporal alignment of speech signals under a wide range of distortion situations that caused previous models to fail. Things like multiple delay variations within utterances, as well as temporal stretching and compression, can be catered for, which improve the performance of the model over the original PESQ standard. In part 2 of the paper, they describe the perceptual model employed in POLQA, which is capable of assessing a wide range of distortions affecting both high-definition, super-wide bandwidth speech, and narrow-band telephony. The POLQA model, it's proposed, is suitable for distortions that are outside the scope of the PESQ model, including unusual temporal ones found in voice-over IP, reverberation, and the effect of playback volume. Jeff Candy goes into another form of modeling, that of loudspeaker cabinet diffraction using the method of fundamental solutions. It apparently enables the accurate calculation of sound pressure, including an exact representation of diffraction and the computation of the radiation impedance of a piston in a finite enclosure. Whereas traditional radiation and diffraction models have problems below 500 Hz, he suggests this new model allows low and high frequency models to be smoothly joined. Time frequency processing of spatial audio is the theme of Juha Vilkamo's paper, written together with his colleagues Tom Beckstrom and Achim Kantz. They propose a framework that uses a signal covariance matrix to represent interchannel dependencies, which is perceptually relevant in terms of the listener's spatial experience. They give an example of its use in upmixing of stereo music, in which the validity of the approach is confirmed. With the 52nd AES Conference on Sound Field Control fast approaching, it's a highly relevant time to be reading Jordan Cheer's paper on the design and implementation of a car cabin personal audio system. The aim here was to create independent sound zones for front and rear passengers, and this is done using separate arrays for low and high frequencies, the latter being mounted in the headrests. A contrast of 15 decibels between the zones was achieved, a performance consistent with simulations. How do listeners move their heads when listening both in experiments and in real-life situations? Find out by reading Chung-Yun Kim's paper, in which he and his colleagues, Russell Mason and Tim Brooks, discuss a series of measurements taken when listeners were judging various attributes of reproduced sound, as well as when they were doing more natural things like attending concerts, movies, and playing video games. They found that head movements were larger when listeners were judging source width than when judging direction or timbre, and that the statistics of movement were similar in natural listening situations to the laboratory condition, so they proposed that the results can be used as the basis of an objective model of spatial behavior. Finally, Bruce Koenig and a number of forensic audio associates discussed the evaluation of average DC offset values in 9 small digital audio recorders in an attempt to determine whether these can be used as a basis for forensic comparisons between submitted audio files and exemplar recordings. However, they discover that the wide variation and inconsistency of these measurements precludes their use, at least under the conditions tested. Moving to the back of the journal, we bring you a report on the 49th Conference on Audio for Games, held earlier this year in London. If you missed the event, you can catch up on everything that happened. We also preview 2 upcoming conferences that are not to be missed events for those working in the fields. The 51st Conference happens in Helsinki, Finland in late August, and deals with the latest developments in loudspeakers and headphones, while the 52nd Conference takes place in early September in Guildford near London in the UK. The 52nd conference tackles the burgeoning subject, sound field control, which concerns approaches that modify acoustical environments by active means. Looking ahead, we publish a call for contributions to the 53rd conference to be held in London early next year, which will deal with semantic audio. Why not consider putting on your thinking hat and proposing a paper if you work in that area? The conference will be chaired by Mark Sandler and Karl-Heinz Brandenburg. Francis Rumsey's feature article this month goes into the business of spatial audio processing, investigating the most recent research in upmixing, downmixing, and binaural processing. We look at the challenges of virtual surround and blind upmixing for height and width channels, among other things. Standards News will bring you up to date with recent discussions on the measurement and equalization of sound systems in rooms, as well as loudspeaker modeling, grounding, and EMC practices. Finally, catch up on news from AES sections around the world and read about the most recent product launches in our news pages. You'll find all this and much more in the latest issue of the AES Journal, available now on the AES website today at www.aes.org. For the Audio Engineering Society, I'm Kyle P. Snyder. Thanks for listening.